Assassin, came a wax, few minutes past 3 p.m. Sweet 16 coming up at the top of the hour, 1 hour from now. Just reading this interesting article. It's about a female sportscaster in France who was going off on a Belgium player in the World Cup because he was leaving the game to go witness the birth of his first child. And she says, you have to realize that you have a privilege to participate in the World Cup. It's truly a special moment, a childhood dream come true. You're living out a childhood dream, and yet you're going to walk away from it all to attend the birth of your child, a disgusting moment where the dad is completely useless.
Yikes.
Yo.
Disgusting.
It's an odd way to phrase it.
Yeah, she just seems like she needs help. Like, I'm sorry, she seems like a very bitter and angry person. Prayers for her, you know what I'm saying?
The guys that share her attitude on that probably don't think she should be in sports.
Right.
Which they're wrong about. But, like, that's the mentality of it. Why would you, I don't know, that doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, but because it's a big soccer match that happens every 4 years and your team can't win the tournament anyway. Like, what are you talking about? Your child's going to be born once. One time. Each child born one time. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about skipping it for like his fourth birthday or eighth birthday or whatever. I mean, we're talking about something that happens every 4 years when you're not a contender anyway. Settle down. Lighten up.
Well, and also if, because I think there's another player who did miss the birth of his daughter for the World Cup. And, you know, you see why he made that choice too.
Sure.
It comes down to an individual's
Absolutely.
Choice. If your team is okay with it, if your employer is okay with it, like, you get to decide what the most important thing
yeah.
going on in your life right now is. And if that's the birth of your child, that's beautiful. If you decide you want to sacrifice that to do this rare opportunity, I get that too. But
yeah, that's between you and your husband or wife, depending
right.
on who's making the call. Like, in which case it is.
But I mean,
I guess the wife can't really play in the World Cup if she's having a baby.
To be a woman and to call childbirth disgusting.
And a little weird.
Honey, come on. You're not one of the guys, just so you know. You're not.
Well, that's kind of the point I was making, right?
Yeah.
Because the guys that are going to agree with you are going to be like, yeah, get that chick off the radio.
Yeah.
Like, it's stupid.
Yeah, they're not, you don't get picked. You're not the best one now. Like, you're not the best
yeah.
girl in the world. Like, you got to...
Yeah,
tone it down.
I was there for both my kids' birth, but I wasn't there when my dad passed away, and that is a hobgoblin in my mind, because he was, you know, on hospice, and he was, you know, at the end, but I didn't know what I knew
right
now.
Right.
And I went to see him, like, around noon, and he was hanging in, and the show was so important to me back then. It was, like, my second year, and I was just having success. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go back and do the show and I'll come back. And I got a call around 3 p.m. that he had passed. And then, I don't know if you know the story, but when I was driving over to Illinois, because I left in the middle of the show, and it's not like the DGS today. Like, I could leave right now and any one of you could handle it. But it was just me and producer Tom. And Tom, while he was a great sidekick, was not a host. And it made him very nervous.
I bet.
So the next guest up was Peter Tork from the Monkees.
Get out.
Live. And that son of a bitch, when he came on, my friend Tom told him, Tom O'Keefe, who brought him on, hey, the host's dad just died, so be cool. And this guy who's filling in isn't a regular host. And Peter Tork, as I drove over, listening, refused to speak English to Tom. He only spoke French. And it was started out funny. Like, Tom's like, oh, okay, well, you know. And then it just turned into awkwardness because he would not let up the bit. And I just remember thinking, oh, I hate that guy.
Yeah, what a douche.
Yeah.
Why would you think that's funny?
Yeah.
But did you think they were insulting you? Did he think they were making it up?
I don't know.
That's pretty awful.
Yeah.
You'd be a pretty terrible person to be making jokes when someone had to leave because their dad just died.
Mm-hmm. New study out says that all of us, Rachel's age, Andrew's age, but especially our age, the number one thing we could do to be happier is to return to our hobbies of 16 years old through 19.
I can testify that that is true.
I
pretty much live
pretty
that
much
same.
Do it, right?
I don't think I had any hobbies at 16. That I mean, I don't play baseball, but baseball's a daily part of my life in some way, shape, or form, either watching it or coaching it. And obviously, video games, sports. I completely agree with that assessment.
Yeah.
Very nice.
What would you be doing?
What would I be doing? Man, 16. I mean, I really liked... I don't know if this is a hobby, but I loved going to Schnook's Video and renting different movies and watching movies. I was sewing at 16. Mm-hmm. I still sew sometimes now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, same old stuff, going on walks.
Kind of like Wheels. It was all sports, drumming.
Yeah.
Television. I'm pretty much doing the same things. Yeah. Maybe, you know, motorcycles. I had a mini bike back then. Maybe we all just kind of do that.
I mean, it makes sense, right? You start to like something. Why do you need to, quote, grow out of it?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you say, I've reached an age where I shouldn't enjoy the things that I enjoy anymore?
I wish I could go back in time and start playing tennis when I was that age. Because I had like an Uncle Rico moment the other day where I was like, dude, if I would have started playing as a kid, I could have gone pro. Like, I was like really thinking this to myself, like, duh, why didn't they put me in tennis lessons? I would be playing Wimbledon next week.
Clearly, I have a natural aptitude for this.
Yes.
Mom, dad.
Yeah. Sometimes it's good to know when you're being delusional.
Although, you're bad at being a girl because you're so lazy.
I am so lazy. Okay, so there are all of these... advice videos and stuff, especially on TikTok and Instagram. And there's this new thing. Well, maybe it's not new, but it's making the rounds now. It's called like the Kibbe body type chart. And what it does is you can like figure out your body type and then what clothes are going to look best on you. So then you never have to worry about like nude trends or anything ever again, because you're going to know how to dress for your body and you're going to look great all the time. I figured this out this morning. I saw this morning. I put about 5 seconds into it, and then I was like, you know what? I don't care. I'll just keep looking like this. Who has the time?
Close enough.
Who has the time to solve all of their problems and look great every time they get dressed? Like, yeah. I'm good. I'll figure it out later. And there's so many things like that. I'll see a video that it's like, your anxiety will melt away and you'll never worry ever again. And the video's 3 minutes. I'm like, no.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I don't have time for this right now.
Time. So what would be entailed in figuring out your body? What did you have to do?
You like look at the charts and like, okay, my shoulders are shaped this way. My waist goes in here. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I got bored and I stopped looking at it pretty quickly. But we could look it up. We could all figure out our Kibbe body types.
Wheels, I'll do yours if you'll do mine.
Mine's SpongeBob, so.
Things are pretty easy.
Just a square.
Yeah, okay. So you like, you go through and you rate your bone structure, body flesh. That sounds gross. Facial features.
You rate these things?
Well, you go through and you find, like, I fall into this category.
All right, let's see.
And then you do, like, a little math equation, and it shows you your all-around Kibbe body type.
Huh. Math equation? I'm all the way out.
Who has the time?
Yeah, who's got the time to be doing
math
equation?
Yeah, who's got a chance to be filling this stuff out?
Yes, you want to do a math equation to see it quantified how terrible your body is.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
But it's the same thing with like I'll go to get my hair done or something, but I don't know the terms for anything because I'm not good at being a girl. And I'll be like, what if you did the thing where like, what if I was blonde? It's like, well, it would take a long time to make you blonde because your hair is dark. And like, I don't understand any of that stuff. I just never got into it. I don't see myself getting into it now. It's too late for me.
Yeah. Just not attractive? Never attracted to you?
I mean, I don't want to seem like I'm like not feminine at all, but it's like going deep into it. Like, no, I've just never gone deep into any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
Sounds like work.
It becomes work. It's fun to an extent. And then I'm like, okay, I want to go do something else now. I don't have this like burning passion for it that a lot of women do.
Yeah.
And I do admire it. And I think it seems really fun. It's just, it's not really
fun.
I'm
no expert, but I would have to think that makes for a more peaceful existence for you.
Oh, yeah.
Not to live and die with every choice of a outfit. And,
yeah, for sure. Know. For sure.
Did you guys see that there is a terrible heat wave in France, 104 degrees the last few days.
Ooh,
and they have taken their alcohol away.
Because they're all getting dehydrated.
Yeah.
They drink a lot of wine over there.
So they're like, yeah, no more serving alcohol.
What would they say? How would they lament this in French, Wheels?
What's that?
Taking the drinks away.
They would say, mon Dieu.
That's not much.
No, my God, don't
like,
do this to me.
No, I want my le beer.
Oh, no. Where's the wine?
I sounded
like the Monty Python guy.
Le Fou Loco.
I fought in your general direction.
I don't know what accent I'm doing over here. But it is not French.
Oh, no, it's hot.
Just take the wine, put it on my tongue, just a tip, yes.
Well, that's just Mr. Burns.
Yeah, that was, oh, man.
How do they say please in French?
Avec.
No, avec is with.
Oh, right.
That is with. Please is,
with,
is
with.
You don't know how to say please.
I do.
Oh, my God. You've been lying this whole time.
That's the most Kevin thing I've ever heard is fluent in French.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Fluent in French, but doesn't know please.
If you please.
That just happened live on air.
Yeah.
No,
we have 3 years
Kevin is
of
valid for this.
Right.
Put on the spot with that kind of stuff is rough.
It's flawlessly, okay. Kevin, to be fluent in French, except the word please.
Like, the obvious word, I know. Like, we, oui, oh, boy. Got that one right.
Well, I never use it, so why would I know it?
You know, they say no, they say no.
No.
None.
They never say it, so why would I know it? That's pretty funny. Tell you guys about John Boyard. Man, he was just a deer in headlines.
I totally sympathize.
That could have gone on for 15
minutes. You've all done
minutes.
It. You guys have all done it. You're like, what's that word? Oh, the word is maybe. I forgot.
Welcome back, DGS on KMOX. Dave Murray joins us at the bottom of the hour. Cardinal Report is sponsored by Rawlings. Visit the Rawlings experience at Westport. And I'll throw in a little extra stank on that for my friend Lindsay. The Rawlings experience was cooler than I thought it was going to be, and I'm a baseball glove nerd. So if it can make me happy, it can definitely make you happy. Check it out at Westport, which, by the way, I've been going to Westport 40 years. It is so cool. I forget how nice and clean and just, it's such a great area.
Yeah, I'm going by Westport tonight.
Well, good for Betty.
Didn't want to brag, but you know, it came up, so I'm excited.
Wheels on the Cardinals Report, I would actually like a little information on some of our former players.
Okay.
I see that Goldie's doing well.
Very well, yeah.
Very well.
Yep.
Arenado.
Yeah. I haven't checked in the last couple of weeks, but for a while there, he was really tearing it up. Had a good hot streak. It looks like he's kind of
coming back down,
falling back a little bit in that amount of time. But he's been like just a solidly, decently productive guy for Arizona, but not a whole lot better than last year in total.
Yeah.
A little bit more on base percentage. Like he's walked a few more times, but otherwise it's basically the same as last year.
Is this his first visit back?
Since the trade. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Arizona hasn't been in town yet this year.
No, fun. I'm going tonight.
Yeah. Good. So he had a really good May and a really good April. Like April and May, he was good, but so far in June, it's not great.
How about Donovan?
Donovan's just been hurt all year. Like when he's played, he's been fine, but he has missed a bunch of the year with injuries. But that's one. I don't think anybody's going to regret that trade, right? And it's nothing to do with Donovan. You know, Donovan has been his normal self this year. I mean, he's high on base percentage. He's hitting for average, a little bit of doubles, power, all that. He's been great. He's just only played, he's only played like 25 games or something like that. It's something low like that because he's had just so many physical problems, which is why 25 games he's played, which is why that's the kind of player you want to move when you're going younger. Nothing against the player. Brendan Donovan's really good, but he's had a lot of physical problems the last couple of years. Right, he had the elbow surgery a couple years ago. Last year, it was the abdominal muscle, the core issue that he was dealing with. This year, I think it's been a knee. Like, it's just been a little bit of everything. And when you can move that player, even when they're good, to get, you know, a bunch of young guys, which they did.
Yeah.
It's a smart idea.
This may be a silly question. Do you think that I have this idea in my head that guys from our childhood were tougher? Do you think that they had any fewer injuries than these guys? Did they just play through them more? Was it just expected to be out there every day throwing nine innings, etc.?
I think it's probably a combination. I don't know that there were fewer injuries, but there was less concern about playing injured. Like, you were just expected to. And, you know, for a long time, what it ended up doing was it would diminish the performance of the player, which is what we learned. We learned not to do that, because when a player's hurt, they're not going to play as well. So what's the point? Get them out, get them healthy, get them back is kind of the new way. And it changed mostly in pro sports. It changed with the size of the contracts. Owners don't want a player that's hurt to be out there and getting worse and diminished returns. And they don't want to risk the long-term contract, right? They don't want to risk an injury becoming a multi-year issue as opposed to just taking care of it right now. So that's, you know, what people mistake is like the players are always asking out of the lineup. Not really. First of all, the diagnostic tools are way better. We can see tiny tears. We can see all that. And then we know what comes next. We know that if you don't rest, that gets worse. So we now rest, because then that will get better and then you can get back to it. So players in the old days were tough, but they had to play because if someone else took their job, they're never getting it back because they didn't have guaranteed contracts. They didn't have that same protection that guys have now.
Welcome back, DJS and KMOX. 334, Dave Murray joins us, brought to you by the Saliga Heating and Cooling Weather Center. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
How was yesterday based on what you thought it would be?
About what I thought, you know, not a lot in the immediate St. Louis area, but once you got into central and southern, especially southeast Illinois, things really started to cook. In fact, a couple of people died in Jefferson County in Illinois.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I was watching it live because I love watching weather live. I'm an old man, so I love doing
like
that.
Hey, it's like a sporting event.
Yeah,
it's fun. If you do it right, it's a sporting event.
And those little towns, like I knew all of them, and that's sad, very sad.
No, it's not. That means you're smart. You know your geography.
No, I mean, it's sad that people died.
No, it's not
sad that I know. I was like, Dave, take it easy.
It's not sad. I'm like, wow. And then I'm like, oh, I know what he means.
So, kind of looking at this for the week. What we're looking at now?
No, actually, a couple of, we're still a little cloudy, but skies will clear out as we go through the evening and the overnight. And tomorrow's a beautiful day. Lots of sunshine, low humidity, great temperatures, 81 degrees. You can't complain about that in late June. Wednesday and Thursday will be partly sunny for the most part, but there will be a couple of showers, a couple of thunder showers around. Very limited. I think a lot of dry time both Wednesday and Thursday, mid-80s, with an uptick in rain and some thunderstorms Thursday night and Friday. Very unsettled weather pattern, and it's going to continue what we talked about in the summer forecast. We're going to see this rather rare northwest flow hold for much of the summer, so there'll be these battles of the southern flow and the northwest flow, which we normally don't see very much in the St. Louis areas. That's going to continue.
And at least it's keeping away the 95 degrees, right?
Yes, it is. We knew there'd be some hot weather, obviously, in the summertime, but it's not going to be a bear of a summer.
Okay, I'll take it. Headlines, Rach?
Yes, let me get that opened up. I have some good headlines for you guys today. I want to start by talking about the fact that 1 in 3 young adults are still living with their parents. That's a record 25.2 million adults under 35 were living with their parents in 2025. This is according to new research from Realtor.com. And the reason being is they're languishing in a tepid job market, and it's just tough out there. So it's just making more financial sense to stay at home for longer.
How bad is it for guys your age?
I mean, if I lost this job, I would be panicking.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like there's like an abundance of things out there, like nice jobs out there. So
is it AI already?
Let's just say I don't have something like, I don't know, a savings account or anything like that.
I don't know that it's necessarily all AI. I think there's a lot of people that aren't retiring, and like it's harder to move up in the rank. It's harder to get like a good job. Like I could go work at Target or something.
Yeah,
but like,
there are less jobs because every company has
working at Target isn't a good job. I'm sorry.
There are less jobs because everybody has slashed things to the bone. I mean, we see it here.
Right.
We used to have, you know, there's two people out in the newsroom right now. There used to be 20. And then also, yeah, there is a thing of people are living longer and they're healthier for longer and they're, you know, for lack of a better term, they're younger for longer. You know, 60 is the new 40, and so people are working many more years and they're, you know, not leaving the positions. And then a lot of times the positions just kind of go with them. A lot of times people retire,
yes,
and then the job just doesn't get filled. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So basically wages have been roughly flat for 30 years. But the cost, mm-hmm. the median cost of a home 30 years ago was $116,000, and now it's over $400,000. So the median cost of having a house has quadrupled, and pay has not.
Yeah.
Not hard to figure out that that's going to be squeezing people that are newish to the market.
Yeah.
Right? Oh,
yeah.
I mean, you know, when you're in your 20s, even 30s, you're not in a position to even have a down payment based on what you earn and the cost of living.
And then the continuing to live with your parents like makes sense when you consider that it's not that rent is cheaper than a mortgage in many cases. In many cases, it's more expensive than a mortgage you would be mm-hmm. able to get on a reasonably priced home. It's just so hard to get a hold of one of those reasonably priced homes. Mm-hmm. You're going to be outbid. Rent is not cheap these days, like at all. So, I mean, I don't think that... It's any sort of reflection on these Gen Z kids or these millennials who are making the decision to stay at home. I don't think it's like a character flaw.
No.
I think it's just a reflection of what's going on in society. Another thing that kind of reflects what's going on with society, a new survey of 2,000 Gen Zers and millennials found that 42% don't ever answer phone calls. 58% script or rehearse conversations before making them. And the reason that is given is because text messages, emails, and social media give time to edit your response, while face-to-face communication requires us to engage in the moment. I find this so interesting because that wasn't even a option most of the time, like back in the day, unless you were writing a letter, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe sending a fax. But everything was over the phone or face-to-face. It's just so interesting that we can be so siloed and avoid that kind of stuff so much that now having a live interaction is terrifying for a lot of people. And again, I don't think that's a reflection on their character. I think it's just a reflection of how far society has moved away from face-to-face.
I would argue that the older generations have failed the younger generations by not making them do it.
Mm.
By not making it a part of everything in school, about everything you're doing at home. If you're a parent now and you're not making your kids speak face-to-face to people and learn to communicate with other adults that are not you, without having to text it or email it, you're not helping your kid. They need to learn those skills because you need that in the real world.
It's one thing that I pretty much spent the whole day yesterday just reflecting on the amazing father I've been. No, I'm kidding. But one thing I will take credit for, and Maureen gives me credit for, is that with both of my kids, it was very important to me. They learned how to shake hands. They learned to look you in the eye. They learned how to have a conversation. They learned how to handle themselves. And thank God both my kids are like that now. So.
Yeah. And we didn't have we didn't have any choice.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there
it was
no,
a little different.
I didn't have an email account until I was out of college.
There was
didn't
less
exist.
Instruction and more thumping to the back of your head.
Yeah. But every interaction was in person, was with people or on the phone. It was the only way to get things done. That doesn't make us better, but it means that people, that parents of our generation, whether a little bit older or a little bit younger, you've got to make your kids do that. You can't let them hide behind screens all the time because it is more comfortable. It is easier.
And just to dig a little, I know it's headlines, but let me dig a little deeper here. When you're doing all of your correspondence over text messages or email or stuff like that, it's recorded, and it's recorded forever.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you delete it, the other person can have a record
correct.
Of it. So I kind of understand why, if you're young Gen Z, all you've seen your whole life is people saying the wrong thing and then getting in trouble for that wrong thing. It probably makes you terrified of making a mistake. And I don't mean like a, you can't say anything anymore. I just mean it's probably really scary to say the wrong thing and then feel like it's never going to go away. So then you're going to agonize over those recorded interactions more. And then when it's time to have an off-the-cuff interaction, that's probably extremely intimidating and you have very little experience. Mm-hmm. There. So just kind of sad.
And where does the next generation go? If the next generation doesn't even know how to do it, how do you teach something you don't know how to do?
That's such a great question. And think of how terrifying what we're doing right now is going to be to the next generation. Like, hey, not only do you have to have a conversation that you can't rehearse and you can't plan for, you have to do it, and there are thousands of people listening in, so don't mess up. But then how many times have all of us messed up? Like, thousands of times, and you realize, like, it's okay, as long as I don't go crazy. Like, it's okay to just move on to the next thing. That's such a valuable lesson to learn, but it's a lesson that we're not learning because we can just avoid it.
Yep. I think there's no question that you learn more from failing than by succeeding, because you learn how to problem solve, and if you're not being tasked with doing those things, how can you ever fail at them and then get better at it? It's okay to fail. I mean, I'm sure there were parents in like my parents' generation, and I'm sure Dave, yours too. I'm sure there were parents that tried to protect their kids from every failure, but it's way more prevalent now.
Oh yeah.
Where you're doing too much for them, taking things that should be theirs and doing it for them. It's okay for your kids to fail. In fact, they need to. They need to get a bad grade here and there. They need to stink at sports a little bit here and there. They need to fail at things because you find out what you're good at, but you also learn how to get better at something when you fail.
Yeah.
Let's do one more story. This is a lot more lighthearted. Coke, Pepsi, and Dr. Pepper are going to begin using QR codes for ingredient information. So this is designed to give consumers more access to information about the contents of their products.
Who's the last person that read a Pepsi can? Like, you kind of know, right?
I don't know. A recent survey found that 6 in 10 consumers pay attention to ingredients when they're choosing a beverage.
You know what? I could pick up a Diet Pepsi and it could say aspartame, mummy balls. Like, I don't... There's nothing you're going to scare me away with.
I pretty strongly believe, as someone who does not drink enough water, if you're concerned with the ingredients on the back of your... beverage can, you should just drink water. Because it's all just anything that's not water is just going to be chemicals, words you don't understand.
Yep. You can also just listen to like nutrition scientists, people that study it, because they'll give you the real deal.
Oh, as there
to
what's he goes better. Again.
Everybody's like, oh, it's chemicals. Yeah, you know what? Water's a chemical too, dude. I mean, like, vinegar's a chemical. Everything's a chemical. I owe you.
Mummy's all.
Absolutely.
All these people with all their hacks about how this is poison for you. It's not. It's like anything else. If you have too much of anything, it's bad for you. If you have too much water, it's bad for you. It's the same thing with Coke or any other thing. It's about the amount. It's not about the thing.
Okay.
Like cocaine.
If I were a billionaire, I would have at least 2 masseuses who just traveled with me. Because you never know when I might need rubbed. And I would have Kevin Wheeler with me all the time for any unpleasantness at all.
just to handle it for you?
Just to the chase guy?
Talk to my anger emoji.
Mr. Glover, I'm sorry. The answer is no. I don't think it is.
Cut to the chase guy. Yep. Like, no. Listen, we're not doing this. We're not doing this.
Right. Well, now you know what I'm going to do if I'm a billionaire.
Hey, at least I know I have a career.
Yeah. And if one of the masseuses is sick one day, you can just jump in.
Nah, that's not going to be a part of my contract.
Are Andrew and I going to be employed if you become a billionaire?
Yeah, you guys just live on the compound for free.
All right. Man, I'll take it. Happens.
What do they have to do, though? What do
you get yelled at by Wheeler?
We'll get that.
Who keeps him warmed
up? Andrew! What are you doing? You don't pee in the cup in the water. You just hold the cup. Thank you, Dave.
All righty.
Give a little bit of your love to me.
93 DGS. Coming up at the top of the hour is the Sweet 16 of Best Fictional Friendships. And I didn't put any parameters on this on purpose. I don't really care whether it's two people or a group of people or, you know, I tried to be, there's some classics I tried to avoid. Tried to be a little more creative this time. So, you know, we take that stuff seriously.
Mm-hmm. You absolutely do. Why would we do the Sweet 16 if we weren't going to, like, try our best, you know?
Hey, I think I saw Max Scherzer saying that there should be a rule where pitchers have to throw 100 pitches. Was I dreaming?
No.
Was it AI?
No, it's just a bad idea.
Oh, he really thinks that.
I mean, he wants to, I agree with what he wants to happen. I just don't think you can make it mandatory. Like, he wants to get back to where starting pitchers carry more of the workload. He thinks it's better for the sport. It's better for storylines. You know, like, starting pitchers sell tickets. When Paul Skeens is pitching, people are buying tickets, right? Well, nobody's buying tickets specifically because, oh, look, it's a bullpen game. Oh, boy, our starter's going to go four. And then a bunch of guys after that that we don't really care that much about are going. I think he's got a point, but you can't legislate it. You can't make it a rule because if a guy's getting his brains beaten in there, you can't make a team leave a guy out there and just get crushed for four innings because he still has to get to 100.
Yeah.
It's an impractical idea. But I do agree with the spirit of what he wants.
Yeah.